Friends, welcome to another hour of great entertainment as we gather again around the old parlor radio. I'm your host, Corey Walker, and I'm thrilled you could join me once again. We are now officially 1 week from Easter, and like last year, I'm celebrating Easter over a two-week period, so I have Easter-themed episodes for you this week and next. I'm going to start with the first of two short episodes from the Minnesota School of the Year, a production of the University of Minnesota. These episodes, which aired during the 1950s, are from a series titled Old Tales and New and were designed for kids in primary school. However, the simple storylines offer a refreshing listening experience for adults tiring of the fast-paced, sometimes violent, TV programs of today. The first episode, from an unknown air date, is titled How the Easter Lilies Were Chosen. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this beautiful story.
This is a recorded educational aids to learning tape, reproduced by the American Printing House for the Blind through the cooperation of the University of Minnesota. For further information regarding this program, please address the American Printing House for the Blind, 1839 Frankfort Avenue, Louisville 6, Kentucky.
Minnesota School of the Air. The Minnesota School of the Air presents Old Tales and New, a program for the primary grades. These broadcasts come to you at 11 o'clock each Monday morning and at 2:15 each Thursday afternoon during the regular school season. And today's story play is called How the Easter Lily Was Chosen. So long ago that no one remembers exactly when it was, and so far away that no one quite remembers where it was, that make-believe lady we call Mother Nature was busy at her sewing basket. Mother Nature was spending her time rocking a bit and humming a bit and sewing. She was trying to make a new pattern of leaf. She liked making leaves for trees, and she was always trying new patterns for them. Well, right in the middle of this particular day, however, there came a knock at the door. So Mother Nature set her sewing basket down, sighed a bit, and went to the door. There, at Mother Nature's door, was a most beautiful angel, all in white with glistening wings. He was a wonderful, kindly angel indeed. But Mother Nature was used to seeing angels, so she said,
"Why, hello there. Do come in."
"Oh, thank you. I shall."
The angel took off his halo and followed Mother Nature into her living room.
"Come right along. You know, I've just made up a new cake, and I decided to name it after the first thing that came to visit me. I'll cut you a piece. I've had it here on the table."
"A new cake? Well, very nice."
"There now. Eat it right up and tell me what you think of it. I shall name it Angel's Food Cake."
"Why, it's a wonderful cake. Well, I'm flattered that you should call it after me."
"Well, then, I'll sit here and you can tell me the message."
"Well, I was sent to find out if everything is ready." "What? This cake is delicious. Really, Mother Nature."
"Well, thank you. I'm glad you like it. If everything is ready?" "Ready for what?"
"Well, for Easter. Well, we've just about finished all the decorations and plans in heaven for that special day. So I was sent to find out if everything on earth was ready, too. Yeah, I say, do you think I could have another piece of angel food?"
Why, of course, help yourself. But Easter isn't for months yet, is it? I do remember a message an angel brought me some time ago about Easter, but it's some time away yet, isn't it?"
"Well, you have a little time. You have till Sunday."
"Sunday? that soon?
Yes. Next Sunday is Easter. And we've just about finished our preparations in heaven. All the clouds have been washed and blown up again. And today we're busy polishing rainbows. And tonight we'll polish all the stars so they'll shine their brightest on Easter.
But I haven't started. I thought Easter came in the summertime.
No. It's Sunday. Now, we thought you might have forgotten, so I was sent down to remind you. Now, Easter being the most glorious day of the year, it was put in the most glorious time of the year, spring. Well, is there anything we can do to help?
Well, now let me think. I'll make a list of things to do. We still have some snow lying about. I'll have to have that melted. And I must send a soft young breeze over the grass to wake it up and start it greening again.
Oh, could we help?
I shall have to notify all the woodpeckers that it's time to knock on all the trees and wake them. I don't know if we can have green leaves for Easter, but we'll try.
Well, if there's anything we could do...
Why, I really think we can handle this, although we shall have to work very fast to be sure. You do have some things to finish in heaven. I couldn't ask your help here below. Heaven must be perfect, while down here, well, we'll do the best we can.
Well, if there's anything you just can't do, now you will remember to ask her.
I'll remember. I always remember that. Now, let's see, where was I? I must see what I can do about green leaves, and the birds must come home from the south, and the flowers. Now, what shall I do about the flowers? It's a lot to ask you, I know, Mr. Sparrow, but you're such a faithful bird, and I'm in a terrible hurry.
I'd be glad to help if I can.
You do make things brighter by staying around all winter, and you're such a help.
I'm always glad to help when I can.
Well, if you could fly south and tell all the vacationing birds that it's Easter time and that they should be here singing and nest building by Easter. That's next Sunday, so there isn't much time.
I'll do the best I can.
Oh, that's wonderful. Leaves always come faster, and flowers, too, when there are birds around singing. Do try to stand still just a moment. You young sunbeams are such a jittery lot.
I guess it's because we're always so happy. It's hard to stand still when you're happy.
Yes, I know. Now, this is the message I want you to give all the other sunbeams.
Uh-huh.
They must search out and shine on all the old gray snow so that it will melt away by Sunday. Do you understand?
Ice, too. Sidewalk ice and lake ice, too.
Yes, all the ice, too. And you must shine especially hard on all the grass and trees and bushes and welcome all the birds back with your brightest, sunniest smiles. But most of all, I shall need your help with the flowers. I don't know exactly what I'll do about flowers. They all look perfectly glorious. But there's something... Oh, hello there, crocus.
Hello, Mother Nature.
Yellow and purple crocuses. I'm sure there was never an Easter when you looked so fine.
Thank you, Mother Nature.
Crocuses are among my favorite flowers. Oh, the jonquils and the daffodils. How perfectly lovely.
Good morning. Good morning. We're happy to say we're blossoming specially for Easter Day.
How very nice. Your little yellow faces are as bright as all the sun.
To tell you the truth, we're happy to say... The sun kissed us awake for Easter Day.
I'm glad to know the sunbeams have been busy.
Hi there.
A tulip. Why, good morning.
Something danced all over my face. And I opened my petals and looked, and it was a sunbeam.
The sunbeam was trying to tell you that spring has come. It's Easter time.
It is?
It is. So toss your red head for all the world to see, Tulip, and make it a happy time for everything.
Oh, I'll do it, Mother Nature. I'll toss my head for all the world to see.
The flowers have never been lovelier than this spring, but still I have a feeling that we need one special thing in the world to let all heaven and earth know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is Easter. Oh, another spring flower.
a narcissus. How lovely.
Is my perfume just right, Mother Nature? Do I smell as I should?
Well, let me see. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, I think so. You smell of a fairy's laughter on a shiny green leaf by a big cool pond.
Oh, I do? Oh, that's what I was trying for. The smell of a fairy's laughter on a shiny green leaf by a big cool pond.
The narcissus is beautiful, but we need something even more beautiful, with dignity and royalty about it. Why, the hyacinth.
We have so many blossoms that we all talk together. Good morning, Mother Nature. We're having splendid weather.
Why, you darlings, it's Easter weather. I ordered it specially for the world.
The hyacinths are happy in our purple, blue, and pink. If we were any happier, we couldn't even think.
Oh, very fine. The hyacinths are happy. That makes Easter quite a success, doesn't it? Oh, if only there was, I don't know what, but something seems to be missing, and I can't seem to find the one thing that we need here among all my flowers. All the spring flowers blossoming and gay for Easter, and still, why, here in the far corner of our flower garden. Hello.
Hello.
I somehow don't remember seeing you about.
I haven't been here long. I guess you planned me when you were thinking about something else, and then you must have forgotten. I don't know any of the other flowers.
Is that why you're over here by yourself? Oh, my dear. Oh, now I remember. One day last spring, when I was disturbed over a sick robin, I was so upset I decided to try and take my mind off it among the flowers.
Then that's when you started me.
Oh, the robin got well, and other things came up. What did we call you?
Nobody's named me anything. I call myself Lily.
That's a very pretty name. I'm sure I couldn't have done better myself. Lily. I wonder.
I don't really mind being all white and not being yellow or red or pink or blue like the others. I don't really mind. And I don't really mind just having one blossom where the hyacinths have so many little ones. And I don't really mind my long neck either, where the other flowers have short necks.
Lily, I have an idea. Now you listen to me. It just came to me. All the other flowers are beautiful, that's true. But Lily, where they're just beautiful, you look like a bit of heaven here on earth. Your tall, slender stem, your spotless white, your royal appearance as if you of all the flowers were made especially for Easter.
Me? You're talking about me?
Yes, I'm talking about you, my dear. I'm going to rename you just a bit. I'm going to call you the Easter Lily, because of all the flowers here on earth, it does seem to me that you alone have been touched by the glory of God.
Today's story play, How the Easter Lily Was Chosen, was written by Betty Gerling. In the cast were Mark Spink, Paula Sector, Connie Oppen, Joyce Brightboard, Barbara Lichterman, Alice Rice, Lois Shawl, and Nancy Rigler, all members of the University Radio Guild. This program was produced by Duane Zimmerman with music by Dee Scheinblum. Our engineer was Larry Larson.
Wasn't that a delightful story? I know I sure enjoyed listening to it. You just heard the story, How the Easter Lilies Were Chosen, from the Minnesota School of the Air series, Old Tales and New, first heard on an unknown air date. Coming up right away, I have a second Easter episode from Old Tales and New. This next episode is a story by Alice Rice and was originally heard on March 26, 1951. It's titled Lumpy's Easter.
The Minnesota School of the Air. The Minnesota School of the Air presents Old Tales and New, a tape transcribed story program for the primary grades. These broadcasts come to you at 11 o'clock each Monday morning and 2:15 each Thursday afternoon throughout the school year. Today's story is called Lumpy's Easter. As you know, Easter is past, and I suppose all of you did some things that were the same and some things that were a little bit different this Easter. Well, our story today tells about a rabbit named Lumpy and the Easter that he had. The story begins about a week ago. Lumpy was sitting in the woods under a big pine tree, just thinking.
Oh, how grand it will be when I get to be an Easter rabbit. I'll deliver gold eggs and blue eggs and speckled eggs and eggs with pictures on them, and I'll never break a one. But that time will never come. I've waited for 2 years to be an Easter rabbit, and I know I'd be a very good one if they'd only let me. Why, I'd go to every single house and leave enough eggs for everyone. No one would be forgotten. I'd have a very good memory, and
I'd be... rabbit?
Oh, you startled me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to frighten you. I wanted you to talk to me.
Well, sit down. What do you want to talk about?
Oh, I don't care. You see, I live on a farm by the edge of the woods, and, well, everybody's so busy there that they don't have time to talk to me today.
Oh, I got lots of time. I was just sitting thinking about the time when I get to be an Easter rabbit.
Are you going to be an Easter rabbit?
Oh, someday. I hope.
What's your name?
Lumpy. What's yours?
Janet Thompson. I'm very pleased to meet you, Lumpy. You're the first rabbit I've ever met who didn't run away when he saw a person.
No, I don't like to run. I just like to sit and think.
Well, don't you even like to hop?
I don't think so.
Well, what do you mean, you don't think so?
Well, I never tried, but it looks like an awful lot of work
to me. Oh, but it really isn't, Lumpy. You should try it sometime. I like to hop.
Well, I didn't know people hop.
Oh, sometimes. Just for play. And sometimes we run and skip, too.
By my long ears, that is something.
Oh, but Lumpy, if you sit and think all the time, well, what do you think about? I should think you'd run out of things to think about after a while.
Well, most of the time I think about what a good Easter rabbit I could be. You know, I'd be so careful. I wouldn't forget anybody. And I'd never break the eggs. And every basket would have different colored eggs in it. Red and green and blue and gold.
Oh, but you'll never get to be an Easter rabbit if you don't like to hop.
I won't? Why not?
Well, you'd never get the eggs delivered in time. Why, you'd have to start right after Christmas, and, well, even then you'd probably not be through.
Is that so?
Well, of course. Why, Lumpy, you've done a lot of good thinking about being an Easter rabbit, but you forgot the most important part about delivering the eggs quickly.
Well, I suppose if I want to be an Easter rabbit, I'd better learn to hop.
Well, I think you'd better. It's really very easy.
But how'll I learn?
I'll teach you. Watch me.
Okay.
There. You just lift your legs off the ground together, and you jump into the air, and when you come down, you've gone quite a ways. See?
Yeah, but I've got both my arms and legs to use.
Oh, you'll need your arms to carry the eggs, silly rabbit. Now, come on and try hopping.
Yeah. Okay. Whoop.
That's it?
Whoop.
Uh-huh.
Hey, this is an awful lot of work.
Oh, but when you've practiced for a little while, it'll seem really easy.
Well, maybe so. But I don't know if it's worth it or not.
Of course it is, Lumpy. Now, it's getting late, so I've got to go home. You practice hopping, and I'll come back tomorrow to see you. You don't have very many days until Easter.
Yeah, I know. Well, goodbye. I'll see you tomorrow.
Goodbye, Lumpy. Keep hopping. Good morning, Lumpy. How's your hopping coming along?
Oh, Janet.
What's the matter? Are you sick?
Not exactly. I'm stiff and sore all over. Oh, my legs ache and my head aches and my arms ache.
Oh, Lumpy.
I don't think I want to be an Easter rabbit.
Of course you'll be stiff for a little while. After all, you haven't done anything but sit under that pine tree and think for just years and years.
Only 2 years.
But you've never done any hopping. Now, come on. I'm going to sit down and watch you hop.
Oh, I can't. I just can't hop.
You won't be as stiff tomorrow if you hop today. Now, come along, Lumpy. Only 5 more days until Easter Eve.
Well, I'll try.
That's a good rabbit.
Ouch.
Fine.
Ouch.
Oh, you're doing very well, Lumpy. By tomorrow, you'll hop as well as any young rabbit.
Yeah, if I can move tomorrow. Besides, I want to hop as well as the best rabbit in the world. Well,
that'll take quite a bit of practice. But I know you can do it, Lumpy, if you try.
Well, I'll keep practicing.
And I'll be back tomorrow to see you again. Goodbye.
Bye-bye, Janet. Let's see now. Oop, ouch. Oop, ouch. Hey, good morning, Janet. Look at me hop.
Lumpy, that's wonderful. Well, I've never seen a rabbit hop faster. Oh, I'm so proud of you, Lumpy.
It's nothing at all. I practiced all night. I never would have tried it if you hadn't helped me.
Oh, you're going to be a wonderful Easter rabbit, Lumpy. Oh, the best there's ever been, maybe. Now, do you have your basket and the eggs?
Oh, dear. Do I have to get those things, too?
Well, of course, Lumpy. Every rabbit must have a basket and some eggs to put in it.
You know, I don't think I did very good thinking when I sat under the pine tree.
You were daydreaming instead of thinking, Lumpy.
Yeah.
But maybe this time I can help you out.
Good.
I have a very nice basket that I keep my dolls in. And I'll put them on my bed and you can use the basket for Easter.
Oh, thank you so much, Janet. But, where'll I get the eggs?
Oh, dear. Well, maybe you could ask the red hen who lives in our chicken coop.
Hey.
She's very nice, and she just might give you some eggs for your basket.
I'll go there right away. And, Janet, if I do get to be a real Easter rabbit, I'll leave you a beautiful colored Easter egg.
Thank you, Lumpy. And if you hop home with me, I'll give you my basket so that you can carry the eggs in it when the red hen gives you some.
Okay.
Here's the basket, Lumpy.
Oh, it's beautiful. Gosh, the colors are so bright.
Oh, I'm glad you like it. Now, hop on to see the red hen. It's getting late and she'll be going to bed soon.
Goodbye. Mrs. Red Hen, I was wondering if I could talk to you for a minute.
Of course, little rabbit.
Well, my name is Lumpy. I'm a friend of Janet's.
Yes, isn't she a nice little girl?
Yeah.
She brings me corn to eat.
Yeah, she's very nice, and she thought that you might give me some eggs to deliver Easter Day.
Well, pluck, 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 that depends. Yeah. I'm very careful about my eggs. I wouldn't want any of them broken.
Well, I'd be ever so careful. Please.
Well, pluck, pluck, let me see you hop.
Oh, I'm a very fast hopper. Just watch this.
Oh, you do hop very fast, but your hopping's a little jerky. I'm afraid the eggs might fall out of the basket and break.
Oh, I'd be careful.
Pluck, pluck, well, you do have a beautiful basket to carry them in.
Uh-huh.
Pluck, pluck, pluck. My eggs would look very nice in there, but...
Well, I could practice a smoother hop.
Well, I really would like to give you some eggs, Lumpy. Why don't you practice a smoother hop? Come back tomorrow morning, and if you've improved, You shall have enough eggs to fill your basket.
Oh, thank you, Red Hen. I'll see you tomorrow morning. Goodbye. Hi, good morning, Mrs. Red Hen. I've come back to show you my new smooth hopping.
Oh, good. I was hoping you'd come back. For a while, I thought you just might give up.
Oh, never. I've worked so hard to become an Easter rabbit, I'm not going to let a little thing like this bother me. Now watch.
Oh, that's beautiful hopping, Lumpy. In fact, it's the smoothest, quickest hopping I've ever seen.
Oh, thank you, Red Hen. Oh, thank you ever so much.
And now for the eggs. They're over there in the nest.
Oh, boy.
All of the hens in the chicken coop have given a few. And they're the biggest, smoothest eggs we have.
Oh, thank all of them for me, will you?
Of course I will. And now, hurry along. You'll have to work very fast to dye these eggs in time to deliver them early Easter morning.
Goodbye, Red Hen. And thanks again.
Goodbye. And happy Easter, Lumpy.
Ah, there. The last egg has died. Maybe some of that dreaming I did under the pine tree was a good idea. But it wouldn't have been if I didn't put my dreaming to work. And now I'm going to take a little rest, I think, so I can get up very early and deliver these eggs. I'll deliver Janet's last of all, and maybe I'll be able to see her. You know, sometimes I think I'm the luckiest Easter rabbit there ever was. Gosh, the sun hasn't even started to come up, and I'm all through. Gosh, Janice must not be awake yet. I'll just leave the egg in the basket on the porch here. I think I'll have a little rest, and when Janet does wake up, she'll find me here. Well, that'll be a real Easter surprise. I really am quite tired, and a nap would do me good.
And a beautiful egg in it. Oh, Lumpy's been here already.
Happy Easter, Janet.
Oh, happy Easter, Lumpy. Well, whatever are you doing here, silly rabbit?
Oh, I wanted to stay to tell you that I finished before the sun was up, and I didn't break a single egg.
Oh, Lumpy, I'm so proud of you. This egg is the most beautiful Easter egg that I've ever seen. How did you get such a wonderful design?
Well, it's one I thought about when I was thinking under the pine tree.
And at last you got busy and dyed some eggs. You're the most wonderful Easter rabbit that there ever was.
Oh, Janet, gee. I couldn't have done it if you hadn't helped me. And next year I'm going to be even better. I've got all year to make my plans.
And now you'd better hop back to the woods and sleep under the pine tree. You must be very tired.
Well, I am, but it's the happiest Easter that I've ever, ever had.
You have just heard Lumpy's Easter, written just for you by Alice Rice. Heard in the cast were Al Hart, Connie Muehlbach, and Linda Brown, all members of the University Radio Guild. Music was handled by Connie Oppen. Our engineer was Gene Chenette. Old Tales and New is produced by Don Salper. And it is a tape-transcribed presentation of the Minnesota School of the Air. Be with us next week when you will hear a special spring story called The Grubneys and Spring on Old Tales and New.
Well, I'm glad that everything worked out for Lumpy at the end and he got to become an Easter rabbit. You just heard Alice Rice's story, Lumpy's Easter, from the series Old Tales and New. The story was first heard on March 26, 1951. For our final radio play tonight, I'm going to feature an Easter episode of The Shadow. The Shadow remains today one of the best-remembered old-time radio series and had a long run, airing from July 31, 1930 until December 26, 1954 on various networks. Today's episode stars Brett Morrison as The Shadow and Grace Matthews as Margot Lane and was first heard at 5:30 p.m. on Sunday, April 17, 1947. It's titled Death and the Easter Bonnet. Enjoy.
Once again, your neighborhood blue coal dealer brings you the thrilling adventures of The Shadow, the hard and relentless fight of one man against the forces of evil. These dramatizations are designed to demonstrate forcefully to old and young alike that crime does not pay. Law and Order, is in reality Lamont Cranston, wealthy young man about town. Years ago in the Orient, Cranston learned a strange and mysterious secret, the hypnotic power to cloud men's minds so they cannot see him. Cranston's friend and companion, the lovely Margot Lane, is the only person who knows to whom the voice of the invisible shadow belongs. Today's drama, Death and the Easter Bonnet.
The kind of an Easter bonnet I want, but there just isn't anything like it in any of the shops this year. Lamont, you're not listening.
Huh? Yes, I am, Margaret. You're talking about hats.
Well, I don't know how you know that. You're not paying the slightest attention.
I pay attention to know that.
What'd you say?
Nothing.
They try to palm off any old thing on you in the stores, but the one I buy must be beige, have a white bird wing, and two red cherries.
No chopped nuts?
Lamont, you're impossible. Can't you see how lovely it would be? Beige with a pair of dark red cherries and a white wing.
Well, why don't you buy one?
Well, I've tried. There are just a few little out-of-the-way shops that I haven't been to yet. And I don't intend to give in until I've exhausted the town.
Say nothing of me.
What's that?
Nothing, darling.
Well, somewhere in this city, there must be a beige hat with... Hmm, I'll get it. Hello?
This is Geraldine Granberry Smythe, Margot.
Oh, yes, Mrs. Granberry Smythe.
Listen, my dear, I hope I'm not too late with the invitation, but I'm having a music gal this afternoon at 4.
Oh, well, it's awfully sweet of you to ask me, Mrs. Granberry Smythe.
Now, before you say no, my dear, it's going to be quite an affair. Raoul Respighi is the guest of honor.
Raoul Respighi?
Oh, surely you've heard of him, Margot. The great violinist from Bologna.
Where's Bologna?
Oh, it's a small country in Middle Europe. You utterly fascinating. And Raoul has taken his entire smart set by storm. You'll never forgive yourself if you miss meeting him. Oh, say you'll come.
Well, I intended to shop for my Easter hat this afternoon.
But surely that won't take until 4 o'clock, dear girl.
Well, I don't see why not. I've been at it practically all week.
Have you tried the Baroness Yolanda shop?
The Baroness Yolanda?
Oh, yes. It's a charming little place just off Faulkner Square.
Well, I've never even heard of it.
Well, you're hearing of it now. I just drop in and mention Mr. Respighi's name.
You think I'll find what I want?
If it exists, my dear, you'll find it at the Baroness Yolanda.
This is it, Lamont. The Baroness Yolanda shops at London, New York, and Southampton.
I suppose you pay once for each shop.
Well, you could hardly expect a woman like Mrs. Granberry Smythe to recommend a bargain basement.
Yes?
The lady would like to buy something.
You're the Baroness Yolanda?
I am.
I'd like a hat. Something special. For Easter.
Oh, oui, mademoiselle. This, perhaps, pastel green with the sprig of the leaves of the valley. Very charming, don't you think?
Yes, I do, but it isn't what I want.
But perhaps mademoiselle has something definite in mind?
I'll say, mademoiselle.
If she will describe it to me, perhaps
I could design it for her personally.
Well, that's a wonderful idea. Look, I want a beige hat.
Yes?
With a white bird wing.
White bird wing.
And a pair of deep red cherries.
Doesn't that sound divine?
Yes.
Who sent you here?
I was told to mention Mr. Rossetti's name.
I see.
So do you think you could?
Could what, mademoiselle?
Design it for me.
I do not have to design it, mademoiselle. That hat is here, ready and waiting.
What?
Here, monsieur. Mademoiselle.
Lamont, look. It's almost exactly what I ordered.
Naturally, mademoiselle.
How much is it?
$75.
$75?
For that kind of money, darling, you could buy a cherry orchard with a dove farm thrown in.
I am sorry, monsieur, but that is the price.
Come on, Lamont.
No, Lamont.
What?
It's just what I've been looking for.
$75?
I know it's expensive, but I've been saving up for this all winter. Besides, I always say it pays to buy nice things. You come out ahead in the long run.
Mademoiselle will take the hat?
Yes.
I thought Mademoiselle would.
You don't think that was a little on the extravagant side, Margaret?
Just wait till you see how other women stare.
That's what you're after. You get better results wearing a picture of Gregory Peck on your head.
You know, darling, you're very bright about most things. But when it comes to women's hats, you suddenly go blank.
Sorry. Nothing more to say.
I beg your pardon.
What's that? I said I beg your pardon, but I couldn't help noticing your hat.
You see?
It's the most charming thing I've ever looked at. Do you mind if I ask you where you got it?
Not at all. I just bought it at the Baroness Shalander's, right across the square.
I see. I hope you forgive my intrusion.
Don't mention it. She has some very lovely things. Drop in and look them over.
Thanks, I intend to.
Take your life savings, Miss.
Lamont!
Yes? I want a hat.
Oh, oui. Perhaps you would
I
like
know
a...
what I'd like. I'd like a beige hat with two red cherries and a white bird wing.
What?
I wasn't told I had to repeat it.
Who sent you here?
Red Speaky. Where's the hat?
I...
Where is it?
I'll
tell you where it is. You sold it. You sold it to that girl who just walked out of here.
It's quite ridiculous, you know, Sherry. She asked for it. She knew everything. Even Red Speaky's name, mind you.
Who is she?
But that I don't know, Sherry.
Who's she working for?
That I don't know either.
Oh, that is incredible.
Eh bien, I have made a mistake, my share.
Obviously, the deal is off, and our friend doesn't have to settle with me.
Our friend won't get a chance to settle with you.
What do you mean?
I mean you sold us out.
Oh, no, Sherry. It was a mistake, just a little silly mistake.
To prevent further silly mistakes, I'm going to settle with you myself.
A gun. No. No, please, put it away. I am so terribly, terribly afraid of guns, Sherry.
Too bad. But this is the last one you ever have to be afraid of. Sherry.
Cab! Hey, taxi!
Dear, we've been trying to get a cab for the last half hour.
Not quite, Margaret.
Well, the last 10 minutes, anyway.
Cab! Oh, here's one. At last. All right, my lady, hop in.
Come on. You might as well tell him to drive on.
What do you mean?
I've just discovered that I left my gloves in the Baroness Yolanda's shop.
Oh. She doesn't seem to be here, Margaret, but she is.
Where?
The floor at the end of the counter.
Margaret.
Oh,
what's the matter with her?
Pretty serious complaint.
What do you mean?
She's dead.
But she was alive just a few minutes ago.
That was a few minutes ago. I'm going to call the police.
There's probably a phone behind those curtains in the back.
I'll take a look.
What in the world happened here?
Speculate about that later. Meanwhile... Margaret.
What?
Remember that girl on the street who asked you where you got your hat?
Yes.
Lying on the floor behind these curtains, unconscious.
You're all right. You just fainted.
That hat. I remember your hat.
Now just relax. You're safe now. What happened here?
Happened?
The Baroness. She's dead.
Yes, I remember now.
Who do you see?
He was carrying his hat when he walked in.
He? Who?
His name was Gessler. At least that's what she called him. Maxine Gessler.
Yes.
There was an argument.
About what?
I don't know. They were speaking a foreign language. Then all of a sudden, he pulled a gun and shot her.
Where did he go?
That's all I remember.
Did she seem surprised when he walked in?
No, I think he must have been an old customer.
Good. Margot.
Yes?
Take that credit ledger off the desk there and look for the name Gessler.
Just a second. E-S-G. Gabby. Danny. Dan. Here it is. Gessler. Maxine Gessler.
Any address?
Yes. 1041 Fairfax Street.
Are you strong enough for the trip to Fairfax Street?
Yes. Lorne, I thought you were going to call the police.
I am. After I've interviewed Mr. Maxine Gessler.
Piece of architecture you're likely to see.
You hold on the cab, Margo.
You mean I'm to stay down here?
In the event of trouble, it'd be tougher to have you both with me. This young lady has to go along to identify Mr. Maxine Gessler.
But I can't. Look, on the bell there.
Maxine Gessler, apartment 2C. All right, come on now, as quietly as you can.
Have you got a gun?
No.
What? Don't you think you should have?
In a spot like this, the element of surprise is worth more than heavy artillery. There we are, 2C. You step to one side in case there's any trouble.
What trouble? There won't be any trouble if you keep your hands in the air. Yes, that's so. And show proper respect for this very admirable firearm.
Gessler?
Maxine Gessler, at your service, sir. And in case you have not been properly introduced, the young lady at your side is my very able compatriot, Miss Nadja Sentlow. Get inside.
A trap, I take it, Miss Sinlaw.
I'm sorry I had to lead you on, Mr. Cranston, but you'll forgive me when you see how much we need you in our business.
Good work, Nadja.
I took some fast thinking to get them here.
When you phoned, you spoke of a young lady who had the hat.
Yes, she's downstairs in the cab.
I see. Here, take the gun.
Thanks.
Just keep Mr. Cranston occupied while I fetch the young woman.
No.
Out of my way.
Keep your hands off Margolaine.
Nadja.
Yes?
I'm going to have to use violence with Mr. Cranston here. If he tries to defend himself in any way, shoot to kill. Understand?
Yes, Maxine.
You have made this necessary.
Sir! Oh.
You say Lamont sent you down to get me?
Yes, he wants you immediately.
But he's all right.
Well, never better.
And the young woman?
Miss Sandlow? She's in excellent health, as you will see. Up these stairs, please.
What in the world is this all about? I buy an Easter bonnet, and the next thing I know, I'm in the middle of a blood and thunder adventure.
You'll find out very soon, Miss Lynn. And when you
Margo.
Do, you...
Mr. Lamont.
Margo, stay out of here. Stay out, you understand?
Lamont, what's the matter?
Run me. Hold it.
Lamont! Lamont!
Open the door, Nadja.
I had to stop him, that thing.
I understand. I had to pacify Miss Lane. Getting quite excited.
What did you use?
Blackjack. I trust I did not damage her lovely Easter bonnet.
We'll return to the shadow in just a minute. Friends, there has been no interruption in the mining of blue coal. We're glad to be able to tell you this because it means you'll be able to fill your bin this spring and be prepared against a possible fuel shortage next winter. Now, here's another important springtime suggestion. You know how the spring weather changes from balmy to freezing in a few hours? Well, that's when you most appreciate automatic temperature control. Why not have it now? Install a Blue Coal Tempmaster with the electric eye thermostat. It will bring you years of carefree heating comfort. You need never go to the basement to adjust furnace dampers. You need never trouble yourself about regulating the temperature in your home, because the marvelous new electric eye thermostat will watch it for you. You simply set the upstairs control, and furnace dampers will be automatically opened or closed as needed. You're assured of steady, even healthful warmth at all times. And besides that, the new Blue Coal Temp Master Heat Regulator will cut your fuel consumption. Modernize your furnace with a Blue Coal Temp Master. It's easy and inexpensive to install. Tomorrow, call the nearest Blue Coal dealer and ask him to demonstrate the new Temp Master thermostat. And now, back to the shadow. Margot came to. She discovered that she and Lamont had been dragged into a back room of Gessler's flat. In motionless silence, they both listened. As in the next room, Gessler and the girl Nadja examined her Easter bonnet.
Well, have you found it?
Not yet. Here, wait a minute. There's something sewn in under the bed.
Here, give it to me. Yeah. Now we just rip out the stitches. And there we are.
Is that it?
D over pi m squared plus u over 7.
Yes,
yes,
that's it. Yes. Oh, wonderful. Our friend should be very pleased, eh, Maxine?
Let us hope so.
Tell me, our friend, is he going to be late?
Let's see. He is his usual punctual self. He will be here in a minute.
You think he'll have our money with him?
I'm sure he will. He has their funds completed at his disposal.
Whose funds?
The funds of the Royal Wallonian government. Comes as always. Mr. Gessler, sir? Won't you come in, sir?
Thank you. You are prepared for my coming?
Yes, sir.
The formula is here.
Exactly as we agreed.
Excellent. May I have it, please?
Before we make delivery, I think it only fitting that we collect our wages, sir. Exactly as we agreed.
£5,000.
Exactly as we agreed. Thank you.
And now the formula, if I may.
Here you are.
I am most indebted to you. Now I come to a most unpleasant aspect of our relationship.
Unpleasant?
Why? I'm on highly criminal business in this country, and one thing is most apparent.
What's that?
I would be most unlucky if you decided to sell me out before I have taken my departure from
you the shore. You should have thought of that before.
Oh, I did, Miss Nasha. And I made plans to take care of this contingent.
What sort of plans?
This sort.
Oh, no.
Put down that gun.
I am sorry, Maxim. Most sorry, Nadja. But I cannot jeopardize the interests of my country.
Please, please, I beg you.
Don't. You can trust us. You can trust us. Miss Piggy! Miss Piggy!
Come on.
Easy, Don.
Miss Johnson, what's happened out there?
I've got all too clear a picture. Stand back.
Why?
I'm going to smash this door. Seems to have taken care of both.
He shot them.
Did you hear what Gessler called him?
Respighi.
Yes. But Raoul Respighi. That is his name.
Gessler?
He thought I would betray him, and now I shall live up to his expectations. And listen. The formula sewn into the head was stolen from a United States government laboratory.
What?
It gives complete instructions for the building of the midget cyclotron.
Midget cyclotron?
The last development in the cheapest and quickest method of producing atomic weapons.
Where can we find Respighi? Where is he going?
Going. He will find him. 642.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Too late.
Yes.
He's dead. 642. What does that mean?
Whoever's speaking is gone.
I don't understand.
Neither do I. All I know is we've got to stop him.
Let's call the police.
That's too late. He'll waste no time being on his way now that he's got that formula. It's up to us. Margot.
Yes?
You heard about Respighi only this morning.
Yes. Through Mrs. Granbury Smith.
I see. You mustn't forget your manners, darling.
My manner.
A nice little girl would call up and apologize to Mrs. Granbury Smythe for missing her afternoon musicale.
Yes, Margot, dear girl.
I'm afraid I won't be able to get to your musicale this afternoon.
Oh, that's quite all right, dear. In fact, it's just as well.
What do you mean?
It's all over. Now, Mr. Respighi had to leave
on urgent business.
When?
Oh, about 20 minutes ago.
He left there about 20 minutes ago.
Yes, go ahead.
Mrs. Granbury Smythe, what does Rex Biggie look like?
Why? Why do you ask?
Oh, well, I saw someone on the street today, and I just had the idea it might be he.
Oh, gold-rimmed glasses?
Yes.
Short black beard?
Yes.
Tall, carrying a violin case?
Yes, yes.
Then you saw him, darling.
Oh, thanks. I suppose you have no idea where he's going.
Who said I didn't? I know exactly where he's going.
You do?
I heard him phoning the Central Railway Station from my living room.
Yes?
He reserved a ticket on the Golden Express for San Francisco.
San Francisco?
Yes. It leaves at 6:42.
What time does the clock say?
6:40, Lamont.
We've made it.
We haven't found the Golden Express yet.
There it is, Margot. Track 14, Golden Express.
Look, Lamont, it's pulling off.
Quick, come on. We'll have to jump for it. Oh, home, please.
Oh, I never thought we'd make it.
Now to find out Mr. Espeegee.
Excuse me, sir.
Oh, let the man by.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, by the way, I beg your pardon.
Yes?
We're looking for a gentleman you may have seen.
Yes?
He's tall, wears golden glasses, with a short, dark beard.
No, I don't think I've seen him.
He speaks with a foreign accent.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I've seen him. He's up ahead.
Yes, where?
At car 4. I heard him talking to the conductor.
Thanks very much. You stay here, Margot.
You know.
There may be trouble.
Well, then shouldn't you ask this gentleman to go along with you?
No, thanks, sweetheart. It's a confidential matter.
But if there's trouble, you may meet someone.
If there's trouble, I'll have someone.
Who?
A shadow. Come back to you later, my lady.
It's a very serious matter.
Well, who's this guy looking for?
His name is Respighi. Raul Respighi.
Raul Respighi? Well, why don't you say so?
What do you mean?
The guy in car 4 isn't Raul Respighi. I've seen pictures of him.
And Lamont's off in a wild goose chase.
Respighi's a concert violinist, isn't he?
Yes.
There's a violin case here on the platform.
Where?
Yeah, right here. See?
Oh.
There's a tap on it.
What does it say?
Well, Mr. R. Compartment 3.
Mr. R. Respighi. Where is compartment 3?
Next car. You want to go along?
Will you go along with me?
It's delighted. Delighted. Here we are. Compartment 3. Hello, hello in there. Nobody home.
Try the door.
It's unlocked. Huh? Can we go in?
Yes, quick. Now, we've got to work fast. Maybe right here in this room.
You sound like somebody in a spy movie.
Well, no wonder. What we're looking for is some confidential government papers.
Really? How confidential?
They're practically invaluable.
Not by any chance a secret formula for a midget cyclotron.
Why, yes. How do you know?
Because I happen to have it here in my wallet. I thought it wisest to remove the glasses, beard, and accent until I'm safely out of America. I'm a very cautious man.
Respighi.
And I'm sure you would have been wiser to have kept your lily-white nose out of this situation entirely. But since you have not, being such a cautious individual, I shall have to take rather definite steps.
If you pull that trigger, they'll hear you outside.
I hardly think they could above the noise of the rails.
They could hear if I screamed.
Perhaps. But it would do you no good. I have bolted the door on the inside. You amuse me, young woman, trying to play an intrigue with a man whose business is intrigue. However, amuse me though you do, I can no longer afford the luxury of your presence.
Please don't!
What happened? What's going on here? The window suddenly broke. Something cracked through the pane. But there's nothing inside. I don't understand.
What happened to your accent, Mr. Espeegee?
What was that?
Shadow.
Who's that talking? I cannot see any.
I am the shadow. Now take that formula, Espeegee.
Don't come near me.
Now take that formula.
You touch me, I'll pull this trigger and kill this young woman before your eyes.
No.
I don't think so.
I assure you I will.
It may interest you to know that a Mr. Cranston discovered there was no man fitting the description he gave you in car 4. He wired ahead to the next stop to have you picked up.
What difference does that make? She'll be dead before we reach the next stop.
We are at the next stop.
What?
The train has stopped, Respighi. And if you turn around, you'll see there are 3 American-made police revolvers leveled at you through the broken window.
Ha, 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 ha.
years ago, doesn't it, Lamont? It's been less than a week.
All I can say, it was a tough way to get an Easter bonnet. No, I'll get it.
Right.
Registered letter for Miss Marvelaine.
I'll take it. Sign here. There you are.
It's for you, Margot, from the Scientific Research Foundation.
For me? What is it?
Open it. See.
Lamont, look.
In recognition and reward for your effort in retrieving invaluable paper of a secret and confidential nature, we enclose a check for $500.
Oh, that ought to teach you, Lamont Cranston.
Teach me what?
The hat cost me $75, didn't it?
Yes.
And the check is for $500. So I'm $425 ahead. You see now, don't you?
See what, though?
That I was right. It pays to buy nice things. To come out ahead in the long run.
And now let me present Blue Coal's distinguished heating authority, John Barclay.
Thank you, Andre Baruch, and good evening, friends. It's not too early to plan the spring checkup and cleanup of your furnace. To make arrangements with your Blue Coal dealer to have that essential job done. Yes, it's essential to good heating and operation that will save you money next winter and to prevent costly rust damage while your furnace is idle this summer. Blue Coal dealers have specially trained men and special equipment to do a quick, thorough, dust-free, and inexpensive job of cleaning your furnace. They can also make the minor repairs necessary. Your Blue Coal dealer will receive many calls to clean or repair furnaces, so it would be wise to call him now and make sure that he'll be able to fit your job into his schedule. Better make a note right now to call the nearest Blue Coal dealer tomorrow. I thank you.
This story is copyrighted by Street & Smith Publications, Incorporated. The characters, names, places, and plot are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. Again next week, the shadow will demonstrate that
the weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The shadow knows.
Next week, same time, same station, your friendly Blue Coal dealer brings you another strange and thrilling adventure in the Shadow's daring battle against the forces of evil. The Shadow is presented by the DL&W Coal Company, distributors of Blue Coal. Lamont Cranston is played by Brett Morrison. Margot by Grace Matthews. Your announcer is Andre Baruch.
Well, Margot sent Lamont looking for an Easter bonnet, and the Shadow ends up catching criminals and bringing them to justice. I guess you could say it was just another typical day for the Shadow. The story I just played was titled Death in the Easter Bonnet and was first heard Sunday evening, April 17, 1949, on the Mutual Network. The Shadow is certainly my favorite radio series and was the first series I featured after taking over the show on December 4, 2016. I'm afraid I'm almost out of time, but I would love to hear from you. You may contact me by email at opr@telus.net or by letter mail at Old Parlor Radio, 2880 15th Avenue, Prince George, B.C., Victor 2 Mike, 1 Tango 1. From the CFIS studios in Prince George, I'm Corey Walker. Have a great week, and if I don't catch you next week, have a happy Easter. Thank you.